Did you know that roughly 13% of people in the world feel fully engaged at work? Are you part of the 13%? If you are, then great. How can you invite others to join you? And if you're not, do you want to be? Of course you do. And when we all figure out how to make it happen, surely we'll make it happen, won't we? Hello, thanks for listening. I'm Roxanne Bartel, and most people call me Rox. I've been doing this podcast now for more than 3 years, and if you've been part of the journey, you know my focus has periodically shifted a bit, but the content remains based on practical tips to increase self-awareness and improve real outcomes. I just reworked my website to reflect a focus on helping 30-somethings. So whether you happen to be there by age or by spirit, you're more than welcome. You'll find a recording of a story on the website about why I made this shift, if you're interested in hearing it. You'll find a link to the site in the show notes. I hope my experiences and insights serve to inspire reflection and meaningful insights in you. And I hope for you that, like me, you'll seek to practice self-compassion even as you embark on becoming a better, perhaps happier, and more self-aware version of yourself. And now, on with today's episode. I've conducted a very easy and unscientific survey, and the most common thing young professionals, you know, the 20 and 30-something crowd, have told me about what motivates them to both go to work and to raise the bar at work includes the following, and in no particular order. The first one that I've got on my list is feeling respected and challenged at work. That seems like a no-brainer to me, feeling challenged and respected at work. The second one that I hear from them is they want to enjoy coworkers and clients and generally be appreciated for building relationships, because we know things happen when people can relate well at work. And the third thing, I'm going to quote one of them specifically, it really helps when I like and respect my manager. And of course, it also helps if he or she is good to me. And I heard something like that from the majority of them. And number four, I've liked a workplace more when we can have fun while we're working and at the same time really feel like we are accomplishing meaningful things. That makes sense to me. And number five, they tell me it's important that they feel fairly treated. In other words, the rules and expectations are clear and respected and balanced in their application. Now, they also, as I would dig into that a little bit more, would say to me that they understand that exceptions need to be made, and as long as it's warranted, and that it's communicated clearly to everyone so that there's not misunderstandings. That one's probably the toughest, but I also know from the brain research how important not only the observation of others being treated fairly is, but also how we're triggered negatively when we feel like things just aren't fair. So it's important to think that through and have conversations in the workplace to create that and to be part of creating an environment that respects that. So those are the five main elements that I heard in my unscientific survey of people in their 20s and 30s. Now again, not considering sample size or demographic involvement, in other words, very unscientific. And if only we had a longitudinal study to test my informal findings. Ah. But we do. And this study has been published every few years, and still we're failing to act on its findings. We're showing little improvement even since we've known these things. We know exactly what works, and yet we can't seem to provide environments that consistently produce it. So I've decided to share it in my work with the young up-and-coming leaders, not specifically so they can do the work for all of us, but so that you, my 20 and 30-something listeners and clients, can assess your employers against these and decide if there's any hope that you can contribute to building this culture around you, whether on your own or by building your own critical mass of supporters to make it happen. I remember I told a story in an episode not that long ago about how in an exit interview, a friend of mine who was the VP of HR said to me, you know, now, Rox, I know you're going to be able to go out there and find that company. And I said to her, as you'll recall, that I realized it wasn't about finding the company. It was about creating the culture wherever I am. And I'm going to say that to the people I work with in their 20s and 30s, that they need to be part of moving themselves into that 13% to build and expand that 13%, because they'll be happier and they will feel ownership for the culture in which they're working. So I want to let you know, though, I'm here to meet you wherever you are right now and to work together to find a path so that you don't have to stay in that place you are right now. I want you to imagine a better place to be, what it would look like, and then let's consider ideas on how we can make it happen together. When I said that there was a study, were you curious? Well, I hope so. Last week, my theme was curiosity, and I learned without curiosity and empathy, you won't change much. So let's start with at least those two elements as we consider this week's theme. The work, the research is from none other than Marcus Buckingham, who first produced his research together with Gallup in, I believe it was around the mid-90s, and he put it out for easy consumption, if you ask me, in his 1999 book, First Break All the Rules. Gallup worked with him, and I remember when my employer at the time brought the book out, and we struggled, and in the role that I was in, I was part of implementing strategies to live up to those 12 elements, those 12 questions that he identifies. It's hard, and yet it's not. I know it sounds funny, but anyway, Gallup worked with Buckingham to expand his research and to continue it over time, and it has been clearly revealed that we are failing to act on the findings and recommendations. Our workplaces, as a result, haven't moved the needle one bit, at least not in the aggregate. Individual managers have taken this information and put it into their, sometimes bucking, no pun intended, sometimes having to buck their own cultures and systems. Anyway, I've put links to a couple of the reports I'm talking about in the show notes so that you can see what I'm talking about. Anyway, Buckingham frames his findings in questions, as I've already indicated, I think. And they're questions that employees ask. And he suggests that when they get positive answers to these questions in their workplace, they'll be consistently and productively engaging. And the informal feedback that I got from recent clients that I talked about a minute ago that are unhappy in their workplaces, well, it fits in with these well. Anyway, I'm not going to cover all 12, but I'm going to use three examples of the questions that Buckingham suggests. The first one, do I know what is expected of me at work? In other words, do I and do my team members have clear job descriptions and clarity around projects, tasks, and expectations? And I would add, do they have room to be curious and innovative? But that then takes me to the second one that I want to highlight. I think this is question three in his 12, do I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day? In other words, are you in the right job where you can use and build on your strengths? And beyond that, are you able to incorporate that concept that's come out in the recent years called job crafting? A recent article in HBR talked about how development in leaders is expanded exponentially when experiencing different job functions, and even better when cross-culturally done, if possible. Which takes me actually to the third one that I chose to highlight. And that, I believe, for Buckingham, is number 6, if I recall correctly, out of the 12. And this question is there someone at work who encourages my development? In other words, do you provide opportunities for your staff to learn new skills and feel like they are moving forward? Making sure people aren't just learning functional skills that are task specific, but allowing their development experiences to feed the whole person can make a huge difference in whether someone feels engaged and chooses to deeply engage in the workplace. So I ask you, as a young professional, are you experiencing that? And if not, how can you request it or demand it in your workplace? Now, as I said, Buckingham offers 12 questions, and I just chose to highlight 3 today. But I've decided while reading and preparing my thoughts for today that I'm actually going to build a workshop that digs into each of these and then reflects on how to be part of generating a positive answer to each of them. And even when you don't have positional power to systematize them in your workplace, because I want the people I'm working with in their 20s and 30s to not just feel empowered, but to exercise their personal power. For you see, I'm on a mission to support the 20 and 30 something crowd to build up their self-awareness, the self-awareness necessary to demand and build and cultivate a world, yes, a work world, but even a world where we value and contribute to environments that foster productivity and meaning-focused work and socially minded and healthy communities. What's the tip for today's episode? Well, we actually know what we need. That's the tip. We know what we need. Each one of us in every generation need to take responsibility for being part of the solution so we can finally move this needle. For the good of our communities, yes, our economies, for the good of our workplaces, our countries, and even each and every individual. We all need to be more curious and empathetic enough to find the path to grow this 13%. I know that's a worldwide percentage, and it's going to vary in workplaces, in countries even, but that 13% can grow. No matter the work that you're doing, there is meaning and value in it. And together we can find the path so everyone has the choice to be part of it. The strength in one of us will come from all of us working together to build this. My current workshop system is launching live in Toronto in October. My mission, as I said, is to engage the 20 and 30 something in neurosocial learning to build skills, create plans for action, and do the work to be more self-aware as a first step, not a last step, a first step to creating the world and communities we want and that we need in order to be happier and healthier. Next week, the hint is, well, this one's a little daunting for me. What if big data processes only codify the past? In our disruptive world, are we prepared to still accept that a codified past is the best predictor of the future? Don't miss it. I'm Rox Bartel. Make it a kick-ass week.